Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you're with us for another episode of an Emergency 9, and this is going to be a fun one. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, Darren Bunch out there in California. We're going to get to this Emergency 9, which is something we always love. And this time we have our friend Zeb Wellborn. Hopefully you heard Zeb's earlier podcast about all the things that he is involved with, Golf Chat, 19th Hole Media, the social golf course. There is a lot to recommend Zeb Wellborn, Darren.
Yep. And we're going to dive into his golfing soul and find out what his answers are to our wonderful Emergency 9 golf travel questionnaire.
Perfect. And we're glad you found us, golfnewsnet.com, iTunes podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Darren on social media, at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, and me on both, at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. But first, excitement reigns here on the Talking Golf Getaways podcast, not only because it's a new year for golf and travel, which we obviously love, but because we want to welcome a fantastic new partner to our Golf News Net team. Two Under is an incredible company that makes, among a wide variety of products, high-performance men's athletic underwear. And Darren, we're going to be talking about Two Under often. There are so many great qualities to the various styles in the Two Under line. But one thing I know is this is not your grandfather's underwear. Everything else has evolved in terms of technology, and Two Under was literally the innovator, the leader in creating something under your pants, your shorts, and in our case, of course, under our plus fours, that truly makes a difference in the comfort and the enjoyment we feel while playing golf.
And Two Under underwear, and try to say that fast a few times, Two Under's proprietary Joey Pouch technology, hashtag asset management. It's uniquely comfortable. It's supportive environment for our most valuable assets, plus great fabrics designed to provide maximum comfort and confidence. Come in a huge variety of designs and colors.
And I have to say, Darren, and I know, let's say off the bat that this is a subject that you and I and probably most guys never really talked about, never thought about it, was underwear. But this is so different. And I can say from experience that the Joey Pouch changed my life. That's all I'm going to say. The Two Under underwear fits great. The fibers are great. There's a non-roll waistband that is absolutely fantastic. And without going into too much detail, they're no drip tip. Use your imagination. I am telling you, life-changing. And it's why golfers like William McGirt, David Toms, Jerry Kelly, and more wear Two Under. And how about this? Mike Dobbin, the Remax long drive tour player, whose longest drive is 551 yards. You think he could have done that without Two Under? I don't. They have an incredible lineup of athletes in other and often much more demanding sports as well. You can find out everything you want to know about Two Under at their website, Two Under, and that's the number two, and then the letters UNDR, twounder.com, on all the social media sites, at Two Under on Twitter and Instagram, and Two Under on Facebook.
And here's our way of letting you experience what Two Under is all about. If you go to the Two Under website at twounder.com and use the promo code GNN20. That's for Golf News Net, GNN20. You get 20% off the normal retail price. Again, that's promo code GNN20 equals 20% off. It's a great deal for what could easily become your personal Emergency 9 favorite piece of golf apparel you can't live without. So get your Two Under today.
Today. All right, Zeb, if you're still there and you're not tired of listening to Darren and I rant back and forth, we're glad to have you with us on our Emergency 9. Zeb, just a great guy, the creator of Golf Chat on Twitter. He owns 19th Hole Media, which helps bring new golfers to a lot of different golf courses. He's the author of The Social Golf Course, which you can find at Amazon.com. Golf Chat with its own, at Real Golf Chat on Twitter now. And that's a fantastic thing. Or you can find Zeb at Zeb Wellborn, that's W-E-L-B-O-R-N, and at 19th Hole Media on Twitter and Instagram. And Zeb, great to have you with us once again. We hope you are ready for your emergency nine.
Oh, I am ready. I've been waiting for this for a long time, so bring it, bring it.
All right, Darren, here we go. We're going to roll. First question, Zeb, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Just so you know, you mentioned that I do social media marketing for golf courses. So I do have golf course clients. So having said that, I do like to highlight more my courses as well. So anyways, my favorite course, and this is because it's my home course and I grew up there, is Los Rounds Country Club. So I'm about a block away from it right now. It's a great course. It's a 36-hole facility. Darren and I went out there and played it. I know the course well. I know the people there. So I do enjoy playing there. So that is one of my favorite courses to play. When you talk about a destination golf, I don't have probably the breadth of experience in terms of traveling and playing golf that you guys might. My father and brother and I, we'd go on these father-son golf trips every year. So once a summer, we do these father-son golf trips, but they're pretty local. We probably travel about 4 hours at the most to try to get in around a golf, but we'll stay the weekend at a place. But one of the places that I did get a chance to go this year, which I was really excited about, was into Chicago. So one of the client courses I have there is called Village Greens of Woodridge, and I got a chance to go there. But when I went there, the guy who's the head pro, he wanted to show me a good time and show me what the place is all about, or he's the general manager. And so he took me, I got a chance to play Cog Hill, which is one of the top golf courses out there. I got a chance to play Cantini Golf Course, which is beautiful. And then I played this other course called Village Greens of Glen Ellen, I think. So I played these three courses there, or these four courses for that week, including Village Greens of Woodridge. That was one of the most memorable golf trips I've had to date.
Well, certainly Cog Hill is right up there at the top. And I've heard a lot of people talk about Cantini, Ashley. So those are definitely some memorable times. And as you mentioned, Los Serranos, great golf course. It's a lot of fun. I want to go back and play the other 18 and just see what that part is about too. But it's a great facility in just really in the heart of Southern California. It's a fun place, and I can see how you fell in love with it growing up, and especially since you can literally point to your parents' house while we're playing it. It's a good time.
Yeah, and it's been around for about 100 years too, so it's been around in this area. That's kind of rare. Like this, from my understanding of it, we saw a little history lesson, and this is was the old Palm Springs, this area that I'm living in, Chino Hills, where they had this golf course that was set up kind of in the middle of nowhere, and people would travel from LA to come out here, for their weekend retreats and play golf out here about 100 years ago, and it slowly evolved over time to where everything's kind of shifted eastward. But it has a long history here in this area for sure.
Okay, so we know from the previous podcast that you may be headed to Ireland. We want to know with question number two, what is the destination at the top of your golf travel bucket list? And is it Ireland, or do you have others that you really want to go to?
So I have one really big wish list when it comes to my golf course travels, and that's to Scotland. And there's a variety of reasons for that, but I'll tell you the main one. The main reason is that my family is from Scotland. So my great-grandfather, he came to the United States. He was actually a golf professional in Scotland. And he came to the United States, and the only thing that he had with him when he came here, other than a suitcase, was a letter of recommendation from James Braid. And so he came to the United States. He got a job as a golf course designer. He was the head club designer for McGregor Golf. So that's on the mom's side of the family. So there's a long tradition of having golf there. And he was situated in this golf course called Ely, which is in Scotland. And so another thing that's kind of tied into that is my dad, he's been a lifetime golfer as well. And one of his dreams was to go and play St. Andrews. And so have you played St. Andrews? Have either of you played St. Andrews?
We both have, yes.
Multiple times?
Yes. Just once for me, multiple times for Mitch.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so anyway, he got a chance to go over there, and he was writing for a golf magazine. I think it was Golf Extra at the time. And so he was a regular columnist there. And so he got the ability to go to St. Andrews. It was covered by the magazine. He wrote about his travel experience into playing St. Andrews. And so he has a he has the experience of going there. And so I kind of want to go like my dad. He's got, like I mentioned that I'm in his house right now. So on the back wall that we have is all of their trip of Scotland. So he's on that the famous bridge in St. Andrews. And so I'm looking at that right now in his house. And that's something I'd like to do at one point in my life for sure.
We've asked a lot of people about their bucket lists. Mm-hmm. We've heard a lot of great answers, but to me, the fact that your great-grandfather came over here with a letter from James Braid recommending him, I think for mm-hmm. me personally, that's at the top of my answers of what's on your bucket list. That is
oh, awesome. Well, that's cool. Amazing. Well, now that I'm saying this, I'm walking around my parents' house right now, but there is, I have the actual letter of recommendation. It's framed up in my parents'. My dad's, he's got a golf, like a hickory golf room. So he's got all these old school golf clubs and everything like that. But there is also the letter itself of the recommendation from James Braid.
I think, Darren, it sounds like you and I have to crash Zeb's parents' house.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't go over there when we played Los Serranos.
How cool. What a great answer. That's fantastic. All right, the next question on your emergency nine. I don't know how you get a better answer than that, but what's the best place you've ever stayed, Zeb?
I went and so I left my, when I was a teacher, I kind of left my teaching job. I realized that it wasn't for me, and I was also kind of going through a mid-20s crisis, as you'd say. So I got in my 2007 Toyota Tacoma, and I just traveled around the country. And this was right at the beginning of the recession, so I didn't know the recession was coming. So my plan was just I was going to travel all these different cities, find a city that I liked, and try to apply for a job and just work in some city doing who knows what. So I traveled around the country. I went literally all the way down from California, down the southern side, all the way to the East Coast. And then I went up the East Coast to New York. Then I went back to Chicago and back down. So I traveled all these different major cities. And the two cities that I liked the most, actually there's three cities that I enjoyed the most. So Austin is just an awesome town. Going into downtown Austin, there's tons of live music. There's a great kind of vibe and environment. They have this Keep Austin Weird, which is very cool. So that was one of my favorites, and I stayed there for about a month. And then I went to Nashville, was another great city, which had a very similar vibe. Tons of live music, very cool downtown area. And then New York was just, for me, totally... It's mind-boggling how big it is. You know, if you're driving into LA, you can see LA. You can see, like, there's a downtown area. But when you get to New York, it's just like you can't see anything because it's just skyscrapers everywhere. So you can't really see the town as you would when I was in, you know, LA. And then for golf, Darren, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Stevenson Ranch, which is no longer. But they had a nice little cottage that was there. So that was one of my clients. They're trying to do as much as they could to kind of promote the golf course before they decided to go into, before they decided to shut it down. But they had a really nice cottage there, which is on the grounds, and the course was a really nice course out in the middle of nowhere. And so that was one of the funnest times I had. I took my dad and my brother up there, and we went and stayed at Stevenson Ranch, played a couple rounds, and stayed on site where there's really nothing else around other than golf.
All right, moving on. What is the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip? And where?
I went up to San Jose for a California Golf Course Owners Association meeting. And I was also, I mentioned that I work with Cinnabar Hills as a client of mine. So they're up in San Jose also. So it was, so I was kind of doing both. I was going up there to meet my client, Cinnabar Hills. And then I also went and attended this California Golf Course Owners Association meeting. And it also happened to be game seven of the World Series where the Cubs versus the Indians. And so, so we're watching Game 7 of the World Series, and earlier in the day, so I got an invite from the current president, Ron Drake. So he's also the general manager at Cinnabar Hills, and he said, hey, why don't you come out with us, have dinner? And so I went to this really nice restaurant in downtown San Jose, and I apologize, but I don't know the name of it. but I went there, and so it was me, the executive director of the California Golf Course Owners Association, Mark Curley, the past president, Steve Plummer, and the incoming president, Michael Lautenbach. So the guys that are kind of the heads of the California Golf Course Owners Association, it was just me and them watching Game 7 of the World Series. And we ordered this. So they had this steak, and it was like a special, like a aged, I'm not sure how they described it. It was like this aged steak, and I'm not much of a foodie, so I apologize for my lackluster explanation of what this was. but it was the best steak that I ever had. And it was an awesome day. It was awesome to watch Game 7 of the World Series with four of the most well-respected people in golf and the people that I respect the most in golf. So it was really cool time, and the food was absolutely amazing.
Pretty stinking cool, I think. Plus, you got a great Game 7. I mean,
that's right. It was so much fun.
What more could you ask for? If you don't remember that night, are you a Cubs fan by any chance?
Well, you know what? So I mentioned that I went to Chicago. So I went to Chicago about a month before that, in September, and that's when I was there. So it'd be catch a Cubs game. And so I said, if they're going to win any year, it's going to be this year because I am the good luck charm. And so I'm pretty sure that the reason why they won the World Series was because I went to a Cubs game that year.
Well, I think that's totally true. I'm surprised more people haven't talked to you about it.
Yeah, I know. I take full credit. That's what I can say.
All right, let's move on. Besides golf and people that you play with, which both of those are kind of givens, what's the most important thing to you in a golf trip?
So when I go on our father-son golf trips, we do go, we'll visit local areas. Like there needs to be some kind of local activities involved. So I mentioned I had a really good time at Stevenson Ranch, but there wasn't much. There was like one bar in this tiny town that had a pool table. So whenever I go out with my dad and my brother, we always try to find a pool hall. We'll try to find a place to play darts. We'll try to find a place, you know, where you can do those kind of competitive barroom activities. That's always something I look for when I'm choosing a place to go on my golf trips.
You're preaching to the choir here about the pool tables, pal.
That's right. Mitch's significant other is a Hall of Fame pool player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, you shouldn't have told him, Darren, because then Ava and I could have gone. We could have met him at some local pool room by Stevenson Ranch, and we could have wiped Zeb out. Or actually, my wife could have wiped you out.
Uh-huh.
Me, not so much.
Well, good. I'm glad you told me, Darren. I didn't want to make that mistake.
That's right. You don't want to get hustled by Mitch's wife. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without? And yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you come from a lineage of golf club designers. So, you know, tell us what's the one thing that's important to you?
Well, I have some. One of the cool things that we did get was we got these Golf Chat logoed balls from Bridgestone. So we have sponsors ourselves for the Golf Chats, and we have these Golf Chat awards that we put on every year. And the Golf Chat award winners get a golf ball from Bridgestone, but it's tagged with the Golf Chat, you know, emblem and logo and stuff. And so people who have won that, they get a chance to play with those. So that's kind of a prized possession of mine, my Golf Chat golf balls, which is pretty cool that they're willing to send it out to us. And then just in general, this isn't probably the most exciting answer, but I do need a glove every time I play golf. I can't play golf without gloves. I've tried it multiple times and my hands just get torn to pieces. So the essential for me is a golf glove.
Do you have a company that you specifically like? You have a brand you specifically like of golf gloves?
No. You know what? Honestly, this is kind of embarrassing to say as well, but all my clubs are hand-me-downs. So I mentioned my dad's this big-time golfer. All of his friends, they're golf journalists. So another friend of his writes for Southland Golf. His other friend is one of the best golf photographers in the world. So he's the guy who shoots at the Masters, and he does a whole bunch of other golf tournament events. So those three, between those three, I have my entire set of golf clubs. So they'll hand me, you know, whenever they're done with a driver, or whenever they're done with a set of irons, or whenever they're done with their wedges or their putters, I get those passed down to me. So I do take full advantage of my hand-me-down set for sure.
How cool. I think all of us would do that. That's great. All right. Next question. Obviously, you play. What's your handicap right now? What tees do you play from? Is there a particular yardage you try to play from, or do you mix it up?
So when I'm playing golf now, it's mostly work-related. So I'm playing at the golf with my client courses. I'm playing with potential clients. And sometimes I'll be playing in charity golf tournaments. So my handicap is a 7.1, so I get a chance to play about once every 2 weeks. And when I choose the tees, I honestly choose it based off of whoever I'm playing with. And so if they want to play from the whites, I'll play the whites. If they want to play the blues, I'll play the blues. If they want to play from the back. So when I went and played Cog Hill, the group that we were playing in wanted to play from the tips. And so the tips of Cog Hill was just crazy long. So it was just driver hybrid everything. if I had a choice, it would always be the Blues. And I don't honestly don't pay attention to yardage, so I wouldn't have any idea how to tell you that answer. I do hit the ball a long way, so that's kind of something that I just kind of don't really pay attention to.
You mentioned the celebrity events you play in. It dawns on me we've neglected to mention in both of these podcasts that you help run a celebrity event in Southern California, right?
It's a charity event, so it's not a celebrity, but it is a charity event. I started it actually when I launched the book, The Social Golf Course. I wanted to do this book launch golf tournament, and so we did that. We invited a whole bunch of people out, and I had a really good time planning it. It was very easy for me, and so I decided to kind of start. I'm also very involved in my local community. So what I did was I got a group of us community leaders together to put on this golf tournament where we're just going to give funds to different charities. And we play golf and we raise money for these five worthy causes. And it's mostly just to support the people that are doing good work in our community.
Moving on to question number 8, who is the most interesting person you've ever golfed with?
I did play golf once with Chavo Guerrero, who is a professional wrestler. So he used to be a professional wrestler. It was a client course. We ran this contest to go play. Like, whoever won the contest got a free round of golf. And so this guy won it. He brought his friend, which was Chavo Guerrero. So we played the entire round with Chavo. And, you know, we get on to the first tee, and I'm kind of telling him that I run the social media and everything. And he's like, well, I've got a pretty good social media following myself. You know, I'll help you with whatever I can. And so he had like 300,000 Twitter followers and a whole bunch of other people. So that round of golf was a lot of fun because he was taking a bunch of pictures at Rio Tribuco and sharing those with his family and friends. So that was cool. And then
cool.
I had another story, I guess I thought I could share it. This was, this is like the most interesting experience that I had with another golfer. Me and my good golfing buddy were playing with this guy, and he's telling us, so he was like 70, I think, but he was telling us how he used to be this long drive champion, how he hits the ball so far, and he was bragging the entire round. And every tee shot, he hit it about 50 yards. He would top it, he would hook it, he would slice it, and he was like all over the place. And so he plays around, but the whole time he's talking about how far he hits the ball and everything. And so we get to the 18th hole, and this is Los Ramos on the North Course, and it was a temporary green. So there's like this, if you look at about 325 yards, there's this, a cart path is like this, you know, where it will go up and turn around. So it's like that circle, that dead end circle. And so he's like 325 yards out there. He says, hey, if you think if I hit that on the fly, that it'll, you know, the ball will go towards the green. And me and my buddy look at each other. We kind of roll our eyes. And we just go, yeah, sure. If you hit that, it'll go towards the green. And sure enough, if that guy didn't just blast one out there, landed first bounce right in the middle of that circle, and roll up about 5 yards from the pin. So that was kind of a memorable experience with another golfer.
That happens with me all the time. I usually hold back on my drives, but that sounds like fun. I wish we could have seen your face. All right, your ninth question. What's the one golf course you wish everyone knew about?
Well, I gotta say it's my home course, Los Ramos. So I wish it's a great course, good people. Can't go wrong with that. That's the one that I would recommend. And all of my other client courses would be excellent courses to visit, too.
That's great. I love that answer. I love the fact that your home course makes you that excited and that you're that appreciative and passionate about your home course. What a great thing. Great answer, Zeb. We're really happy that you took the time to get into this emergency nine. We always learn a lot about whoever's taking it. I hope you enjoyed it, too. And we know we'll talk to you again. There's so much to go in the continuing chat, as it were, about golf. And thanks for all you do in the game. Golf Chat, again, hashtag Golf Chat. We have at Real Golf Chat on Twitter now. You can find Zeb Wellborn at Zeb Wellborn and at 19th Hole Media on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for being with us, Zeb.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I'm glad to finally get on the show. And thanks for chatting golf.
Thanks to the listeners. Couldn't do without you. You can go to Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf. me at Mitch Lawrence. You can use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, hashtag 2 Haggis Bags. We'll come up with some others soon, I'm sure. And if you like Talking Golf Getaways, share it. Social media, rate us on iTunes. Anything you can do to help us continue talking about the greatest game and how to play it. Darren, it's been fun as always. I'm sure I'll talk to you, you know, momentarily.
I'm sure we will do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, man. All of you out there, Zeb Wellborn, another example of somebody who's absolutely chasing his own dream, running it down. We hope you do the same. Take it away, Tom Petty. We'll talk to you soon. So long.